Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. Happy Friday, everybody. We are very, very close to college football, and that means we're going to get some weird, wonderful, interesting stories as we get closer and closer to actual games, as we get more hyped up with less actual information. It just gets a little weird. And so let's talk about the two biggest stories on Friday before we get to our very special interview that I cannot wait for you to hear with Savannah Spakes, who is one of the Ralphie handlers at Colorado. That's right. She helps run a live bison down a football field. That's her extracurricular activity as a student at Colorado. It's maybe the greatest thing I've ever heard of. We're going to talk to Savannah later about that. But before that, let's talk about a couple of the big news stories of the day. One, Brian Harsin handed out some hats at Auburn. Two, walk-ons are getting paid. Both of these interesting in their own way. The Brian Harsin hat story, I bring this up only because it's something that, as a reporter, you know, when you talk to people about this stuff, they don't often understand how the job works or what the job entails. And so I guess during the viewing period for Auburn's practice, Brian Harsin came and handed some nice Under Armour Auburn hats out to the reporters that were there watching practice. Now, for most beat writers, most reporters, you're not allowed to wear the gear of the team you cover. It's a conflict of interest, and you don't do it. And, you know, if you work for a team site, obviously that's a little bit different story. But if you work for, you know, a mainstream publication or a TV station or something like that, you're not wearing the gear of the team you cover. Now, some people took offense to this. What are you doing? Don't you know we're not supposed to take that? And I get that. Like, I can't wear the gear of the teams I cover. You see the Florida jersey behind me if you see the videos of these things. That was from when I was in college, but I don't wear any of that stuff now. In fact, we had Home Field Apparel as a sponsor, and they have all these cool shirts for all these schools, which I wish I could buy pretty much every single one of them. The ones I've actually bought are schools that we don't cover. Like, I have a Colorado School of Mines shirt. I have a University of Vermont shirt because I know I'm never going to have to actually cover them. But it's one of those things that people get weird about. And it's also interesting because I think there's a disconnect between the reporters and the coaches on this thing, because coaches, you have to understand, everybody in their life, pretty much everybody they ever meet once they get a job in coaching wants gear, except the reporters who cover them. So these are people who walk around daily getting requests for gear. And that is how they thank people, how they show gratitude is with gear. And usually that goes over very well. And so that's the part you got to understand. And like when I was at SI and now at The Athletic, when I go to a school, a lot of times the coach will say, hey, we'll get you some gear. And I'll say, no, I can't take that. And then sometimes they're saying, oh, yeah, I understand. And then sometimes they're like, no, we're going to get... And then they hand you a pile of stuff at the end of the trip. And then what do you do? Well, what you do is you find somebody you think would want it, and you give it to them. That's the polite thing. You take it politely, and then you politely re-gift it. And then everybody wins in that scenario because the person getting it probably loves it. Now, I saw a picture of these Auburn hats. These are really nice Auburn hats. These aren't the gas station hats. So what you can do with that is, you know, if you're an Auburn beat writer, chances are you live around a lot of Auburn fans and they're in your orbit. Maybe they're your friends. Maybe they're folks that you see on a daily basis. Maybe it's the person who comes up to fix your air conditioner, that sort of thing. And you say, hey, got this Auburn hat. Would you like it? Well, you just made an even better friend. So instead of worrying about Brian Harsin not understanding how the job works, which maybe he doesn't, just say thanks, because he's making you a better friend, because you're going to give that hat to somebody who wants it, and they're going to be deliriously happy about it. So that's Story number one from a very interesting late week period in college sports. Story number two, walk-ons getting paid. That's right. Walk-ons, the best looking, smartest people on any football team. They're getting some cash too from this NIL deal. The big news was that BYU put this out, and there's a protein bar company called Built Bar that has made a deal that they will, well, why don't you just listen to the audio of the video that BYU put out. It's pretty interesting stuff. So here's the video.
Tell me, Hero, are you a walk-on? You know what I love about this guy? This guy's a fighter. I heard his story. Dude, I got goosebumps when I talked about this guy's not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but he's like, I feel something different. I want to be part of this team. He met some of you guys. He's like, I feel something special. I want to be like you. I want to be part of you. And he just said, I feel like I'm part of something. Nick, at Built, we want you to be employee number one. Yeah. We want to pay for your tuition.
Walk on that's been busting his butt here a long time is Talmadge Gunther.
Where is he?
Talmadge.
Yeah.
You can thank Coach. We want you to be employee number two, and we want to pay for your tuition. What do we want to do? All walk on, step up.
Oh, no way.
Employees 1 through 36 in the house.
Okay, so you hear that. All of the walk-ons will have their tuition paid by this company. Now, all of the players on BYU's team are going to get something from this company because they're going to be wearing the logos on their practice gear, and so they're going to get something out of that. And the walk-ons themselves will be getting tuition paid. Now, it doesn't sound like room and board, but tuition, I believe, for a non-LDS student at BYU is in the five figures. It's just $12,000 or $13,000 a year. So that's a pretty big gift right there. And, you know, the first thing that happened was the NCAA cops showed up. Not the NCAA itself, because don't worry, they're not doing anything anymore. But everybody who's just so fixed on the old rules and just can't handle the market working the way the market's supposed to, they came in and they said, oh no, this is the end of the 85 scholarship limit in college football, and Nick Saban's going to find a way around this. And yeah, okay, he might. He might find a loophole in this. But guess what? It still means every walk-on at BYU is getting paid because they provide something of value to BYU. And they shouldn't have to take nothing just because of that arbitrary limit. So you can get mad about that, or you can say, this is awesome. And by the way, that's not the only group of walk-ons that are getting paid. Walk-ons, the sports bar chain, which was started by a couple of ex-LSU basketball walk-ons, basically they started a sports bar in the shadow of Tiger Stadium. It's a great sports bar. It did really well. And they decided, you know what? We should take this on the road. And now, I mean, they're basically going to try to take on Buffalo Wild Wings. They're trying to take over the world. And listen, that's what walk-ons do. They take over the world. So they are coming out with a program that now walk-ons all over the country can apply to be their walk-on of the week. And they will get paid by walk-ons to be brand ambassadors for walk-ons, which, oh, by the way, is opening restaurants in different places where they have not had restaurants before and might need some brand ambassadors that are affiliated with good old State U. So it all works out very well. Now, I will tell you how this could be manipulated if you want to, because that's also part of the gig. And the way I found out about this is actually a staffer at a big-time power-type school said, uh-oh, the 85 is dead, and sent me the video of this. And that person was laughing about it because they know, like most people who work at that level of college football, that the 85 is a something that sometimes the schools want to get around. The 25 new scholarship players per year rule is the one that more schools want to get around. This could help them with that. There is a way that something could help them with that. But they also realize more scholarship, more quote-unquote scholarship players, walk-ons who are getting enough NIL money to essentially be scholarship players, those guys, you don't want too many of those because there's still only 11 spots on the field. I know Derek Dooley tried to make it 13 that one time, but there's still only 11 spots on the field. So if none of them are playing, they're all going to be in the transfer portal anyway. So the coaches at the bigger schools understand this, but I will tell you where this might get used, and you might get mad about it, but I don't really care. Let's say a top 10 type school has a positional need in one spot. Let's say it's, you know, they're in need of a linebacker, and they had a rash of injuries at that position in spring practice. They don't have a player, a veteran player that they feel comfortable playing at that position, and they might have to go to a true freshman. That's the time where even if they brought in 25, let's say they signed 22 new freshmen and they brought in three transfers. Even if they brought in 25, that's where you might have somebody say, you know what? It would be really nice if some company would just kick in enough to make this guy feel like he's on scholarship or to cover all the tuition and room and board that the scholarship normally would have covered. That would be really sweet if there happened to be a veteran linebacker in the portal who wants to play on a team that might play for a national championship. That's probably the only time you're going to see that really being kind of abused. Because otherwise, you got to remember, if it's somebody who, let's say, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, LSU, Oklahoma, all those schools want, well, one of them's going to have a scholarship. And they're probably going to go to the place that gives them a scholarship and some extra NIL money comes in beyond that, rather than some extra NIL money comes in, then you turn around and write a check for tuition, room, and board. So the market's still working here. Not that many people are going to turn down the scholarship plus NIL to take just the NIL to then turn around and hand that to the school. So we'll see how it goes. But it's a really interesting thing, and it's one of those things where the laws being different in every state affect this, because this is one of those things I don't know in some of the states would work. I don't know that you could pull that off. It would be kind of construed as pay for play according to some of the state laws, but the what they're operating under in Utah, it's not. So this is the market working. And guess what? If the schools in the states where that wouldn't work want to be competitive, they'll go to their lawmakers and get the law changed, because this is a competitive environment. And this is what everybody's been saying all along, is that there is a market for this. It's obvious there's a market for this stuff. You wouldn't have companies that exist to rank how well the schools perform in the acquisition of talent if there wasn't a market for those player services. So even the walk-ons, they provide a service. Take it from a former human tackling dummy. There aren't as many people dumb enough to do what I would do, which is stand in front of future first-rounders. I mean, if you remember Reggie McGrew, who played at Florida, he was a first-round draft pick of the San Francisco 49ers. You've seen the video of the guy who takes cannonballs to his stomach. Reggie was the cannonball, and I was the guy. You don't want to do that to a scholarship player. You got to have somebody to do that to. Well, that's your walk-on. And if you want to have a better version of that person, you know, well, some extra. So I'm very excited that this has trickled down to the walk-ons, because this is just proof positive that, hey, there's a market for all this stuff. And two, this is strategic. We don't talk about this if this company doesn't give the money to the walk-ons. And by the way, remember, this is to have the brand on the practice gear. All of the college football players you watch have been advertising Nike and Adidas and Under Armour for free all of this time. So now they're going to get paid for advertising some stuff. But this company, Built Bar, we wouldn't be mentioning it on this show if they hadn't done this. So mission accomplished. Guys who run Built Bar, you figured it out. And that's how it works. There's going to be a lot of creativity, a lot of entrepreneurship as this goes on. And I'm here for it. I just think it's fun.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
But you know what else is fun? Watching five college students run a live bison down a football field. And that is really how the Ralphie tradition at Colorado got started. There were a group of people who worked in the student government, some freshmen and sophomores in 1966. They're sitting around the student government office, and basically what they said was, you know what would be awesome? If we got a buffalo and ran it down the football field. Like, that is pretty much the genesis of how it worked. I talked to a guy named Glenn Porzak. He's an attorney in Boulder now. He was one of those students back in 1966. And so one of their friends, his dad knew a guy who had a buffalo farm. And I say buffalo, it is the American bison. That is the creature we're talking about. They use the words bison and buffalo interchangeably. They asked for a bison. They said, hey, can we get a bison that we can then train to run down the football field? They did not even think to ask for a female bison. I like to think that the rancher who ran the bison ranch knew this and realized, if I give these people a male bison, one of them is going to die. So he gave them a female bison. And female bisons can get up to about 1,200 pounds. They can run extremely fast. They can probably outrace Usain Bolt and then hold that speed for several miles, and they can also jump very high. But male bison, they can get up to 2,000 pounds, they can run even faster than the females, and they can jump 6 feet in the air. You will probably die if you try to ask a male bison to do something he doesn't want to do. Female bison with five college students, they're more willing to run in the direction basically that you're asking them to run, and then they'll run in the other direction if you kind of guide them that way, and that's what Ralphie is. Ralphie is that bison. They're now on Ralphie number 6. We're about to meet Ralphie 6. Ralphie 5 served for 12 or 13 years. I can't remember exactly. But Ralphie 5 retired in the 2019 season, not because she couldn't run anymore, but because she kind of ran too fast. She was getting too dangerous. And so she got too excited before runs, so they decided, you're going to retire. And then, of course, there's the pandemic last year, so there was no Ralphie run at all. They identified a new bison in 2020 that they were going to begin training. And this is a younger one, so not even close to the 1,200-pound weight that Ralphie 5 was. And Ralphie 5's familiar name to the handlers and the people who dealt with her on a daily basis was Blackout. So not as big as Blackout, but they've been working with her. And Savannah Spakes, who's one of the handlers, was nice enough to come on and explain how all of this process works. And now, when we recorded the interview, they had not decided yet if Ralphie 6 was going to be ready for the beginning of this season. Rick George, the athletic director at Colorado, came out during Pac-12 media days and said, we think that Ralphie 6 will be ready to go and possibly run in the home opener against Northern Colorado. But that's one of those things that kind of make the decision day before, day of, to make sure it's safe for everybody. But she's going to make her debut this year. And it's very cool. And you can tell how excited Savannah is to get this one running and to show everybody, because it's a pretty young handler team, which means there's a lot of pooper scoopers, which you'll find out later in the interview. That is one of your first duties as a Ralphie hand. Did I say duties? Yeah, I did. Okay, sorry about that. Pun intended. That's one of the first things you do as a Ralphie handler. But this is the greatest tradition in all of sports, because only under the influence of college football would somebody say, you know what would be awesome? Running a buffalo up and down the football field. It's the only place it would ever happen. And it happens. at Colorado. So here is our interview with Savannah Spake's Ralphie Handler. Okay, Savannah, so you are a Ralphie Handler, and according to your bio, you attended your first Colorado football game at age 8 and said, I will be one of the people guiding that lovely beast of a bison across the field at some point. How did the journey go from telling your parents that to actually being a Ralphie Handler?
So my parents are like super, super diehard Buff fans. So we went to just about every football game we could go to. We went to basketball games. So I grew up on that campus essentially. And once I started getting into high school, I started to really, really think about like what I might need to do to actually get there. I ran track and cross country. And later on in high school, I switched to sprints and track to just kind of have a little bit more of a background with sprinting. And then my freshman year at CU, I actually talked to John, the at the time manager of the program, and Taylor, and I met them. I made sure they knew who I was. I showed up to their tailgates. I met the other handlers, and I worked with a sprint coach all that year to make sure I was as ready as I possibly could be for tryouts.
Well, and when you watch it on video, you understand, but I think people just don't get, you have to be an athlete to do this. This doesn't work if you aren't an athlete.
Yeah, I think people are usually most surprised about the program is how much time we spend not at football games, getting prepared for football games.
So, and it's preparing yourselves for the run itself.
Yes.
But also taking care of Ralphie herself. And let's make clear, Ralphie is a lady.
Ralphie is a female, yes. Always has been, always will be.
And why is that?
So Ralphie 5 weighed about 1,200 pounds during season and was about 5 foot tall at her hump, whereas a male buffalo could get up to 2,200 pounds and 6 feet tall at his hump. So it just, and they're more aggressive. They just have way more energy. They're faster, they're stronger, they're just bigger, and that would make it probably way harder to ever run with it.
Now, how many of you are running at a time when you're bringing Ralphie on the field?
So with Ralphie 5, 5 of us ran at a time, 2 up front, 2 in the back, and 1 person in the very far back.
And so what is going through your mind as you are waiting to bring Ralphie? Because you're here in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, do you even think about that?
Yes, it is during the countdown song when we are waiting, because we are like holding onto the leads, we're ready to go, and we're just waiting for that cue for the countdown song to end. And it is a very long 30 seconds, 45 seconds, maybe.
Yeah.
And it gets very, very hyped up. The football players are just like, they're so ready to go. All the fans are screaming. They're so, so ready to see Ralphie come out. And once you get into that run, my mind honestly goes a little blank. I don't remember most of them.
Well, and so what are you taught when you become a Ralphie Handler? What are you taught about those seconds that you are running on the field? What do you have to, when you're running, what is the thing you have to keep top of mind?
I think definitely the biggest thing is you need to keep your rope tight enough so that it's not tripping the person in front of you. And you need to keep your knees high enough to run fast enough to continue to keep up with her. And then for me personally, the position I run, we have to do a pretty sharp cut going into that turn in order to not trip the person in front of me or the person behind me. So it's a pretty good, like, I'm just running 90 degrees this way, and then all of a sudden I'm turned and she kind of leads us from there.
How do you turn her? And what if she just doesn't want to?
So honestly, the guys up front do a lot of that. They definitely push her one way or the other, pull her a little bit to get her to move. But towards the end of Ralphie 5's career, she knew what she was doing. She turned herself. And whether or not she wanted to do it longer or she wanted to run a little shorter that day, it was pretty much up to her towards the end. He ran the show.
Was she a diva?
She knew she was a star. She knew.
So how much time do you spend with Ralphie during the week?
A lot of time between a bunch of handlers go out to pick her up for practices, and we spend enough time out there with her just getting her ready and kind of making sure she knows what's going on. And then we have whole team ranch days where we're out there for a lot of the day, and we just kind of hang out with her and spend time with her and really get to know her. And it's interesting to see over the years how you definitely form a relationship with that animal, and she gets to know each of you differently depending on how much time you spend with her and what it is you're doing with her and kind of how you even talk to her, I think.
Well, and Ralphie 6 was named last year. And what are the differences between Ralphie 5 and Ralphie 6?
So unfortunately with Ralphie 6, we are working with a buffalo. She has not actually been named Ralphie 6 yet.
Oh,
but
okay.
We are still working through that progress. We are working really, really hard to hopefully be ready by football season. And our coach Taylor and our assistant coach Colton, we are all doing absolutely everything we can to be ready for this football season with this buffalo.
Because you can't do that unless Ralphie's ready, right? Yeah. Or, and you can actually name her Ralphie. And because I would imagine unless the animal is trained correctly, you can't bring her out in front of all those people.
Yeah, no, we definitely want her to be like very, very game day ready so that when we come out there on game day, we present this program as strong and healthy and just where we left it off with Ralphie 5 a couple years ago. So we are definitely making sure that we are 100% ready up for game day.
What was last year like for you guys?
So we actually got to go to one football game. We got to just watch and hang out, and we wore all of our gear. We showed up in our gear to just cheer on the guys. And otherwise, you know, we actually did get to do all of our workouts through the fall and the spring, which was incredible that we got that opportunity to still be together as a team. We were working with the buffalo a lot of the year just based off of different COVID stuff. We were getting tested once a week. We were all being super, super careful outside of practices and workouts and making sure that Ralphie was our number one priority with being safe with COVID.
So, I mean, and in the Pac-12, the players didn't get to play that many games and that sort of thing, but you guys didn't even... You really didn't get to do all the stuff you were practicing for. So what's it going to be like the next time you're out on that field and hopefully this buffalo is ready to go and is going to be Ralphie 6, what will it be like when you guys hit the field finally?
You know, I think it's going to be interesting because there's actually only 5 or 6 of us on the team currently who have ever experienced a game day. And there is only 3 of us on the team who have ever run at a game. So we have a very young team, and of course we're doing everything we can to get them as ready as possible, but you never know what game is going to be like until you are at a game day. So I think we are all very, very excited. We are definitely starting to get more into it, and we're just looking forward to Folsom.
I was going to say there's some butterflies, I imagine, for those. When the first timer comes to you and says, what was your first time running with Ralphie like? What do you remember from that day?
I was nervous. So our coach would post who was running during the Ralphie Corral, which is a couple hours before kickoff. And I saw my name on there and I was nervous. Like, I knew I was fine. I knew I had trained for this. I knew I was ready. But I was like, holy crap, today is the day. And so all day we get ready and warm up was just like kind of surreal. And I know my parents knew that I was running and they were more excited than anything because they had watched this. Just all these years, this is all I ever wanted to do. And the actual run itself was fast. It was one of Blackout's fastest runs that season. And I probably blacked out going into the turn. I just like don't remember anything after the turn.
That's great.
I remember one of my
teammates. What game was that?
Oregon State. It was, I think, one of the last games we won that season.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it was the Oregon State game that year. It was 2018. And all I remember was one of my teammates in front of me, his hat came off and fell into my arms and I didn't know what to do with it. So I just kind of left it there until it eventually just came out.
Hat down, leave it behind. We got a buffalo to run here.
Exactly.
When you meet someone for the first time and they say, well, oh, you know, you're a student at Colorado. Do you do any extracurriculars? What is the look on their face like when you tell them that you are a Ralphie handler?
It really depends on the person. Like if it's a female and she knows what Ralphie is, she knows what the program is, they're impressed. And when it's a guy, they're sometimes like, are you serious? Like, really? I'm like, yes, yes.
Can I meet her?
Yeah, people always want to meet her. They always want to ask, like, can we pet her? Like, can we talk to her? Like, what is she like? Or some people are like, well, what is that? More people don't know about it than do when I meet them, honestly.
Really? And even on campus?
No, on campus, it's like people know, but then otherwise in Boulder, if I meet someone like through work or whatnot, it's like they'd have no idea what I'm talking about.
And that's the one, because I love the craziness of college football. I love when they have live mascots, but you know, you've got all these bulldog teams that have a bulldog. It's fine. You know, Ugg is beautiful and Handsome Dan from Yale and Butler Blue from Butler. But they're bulldogs. I can go find a bulldog down the street. My neighbor's got a bulldog. Ain't nobody got a buffalo.
No one does. And I mean, there's horses. People ride horses in pro sports and college sports. We've got Bevo, I think is the...
Yeah, Bevo, but Bevo just sort of stands there.
And even Cam the Ram up at CSU, they like kind of trot her up and down the sideline a little. Him, it's a him. Cam is a
boy.
But they kind of
Bevo's definitely a him.
But then it's like Ralphie runs, and Ralphie will run up to 25 miles an hour on game day. That's insane.
1,200 pounds running 25 miles an hour.
It's kind of crazy how fast buffalo as a species are, given how big they are.
Well, that's what, before I was talking to someone before this interview, and I told them who I was interviewing, and they said, oh, well, we were on vacation and we came across a male buffalo who was behind a fence, but seemed somewhat agitated. And it was one of those three tiered fences. So I guess the buffalo kicked the top log off the fence and jumped the next two. Like, so 2,000 pounds and can jump. This is why Ralphie's a lady.
Yeah, bison can jump incredible heights. It's actually insane. I think buffalo are definitely the coolest animals in the world. They can swim. They can jump, they can run.
What is your favorite bison fact? When you really got into learning about these animals and got to spend some time with them, what's when people say, well, what's so special about that versus another animal? What's your favorite one?
That's a really hard question. I think probably one of the coolest facts that our coach told us is that bison naturally lived all over North and South America in all climate temperatures. So they lived as far as like super South America and super North America. So they are the most versatile creatures, I think, I can think of off the top of my head. They can swim. They survive insane winters. They can jump up to like 6 feet. I think the males can. They're crazy fast, and they're herd animals. Like, they have families.
That is amazing. And that's the thing. And they're herbivores. So they're not, they're not predatory. I'm trying to imagine what predator even tries. Why would you even bother trying? Against something like that.
They're honestly so smart too. Like, Ralphie is a very, very smart animal. Like, she knows what's going on. She knows who we are. She knows, like, when the trailer pulls up, she knew what that meant. She knew what to do on game days. Like, she was just so intelligent. It was really interesting to me to see that, because cows are not exactly the smartest animals, and horses are smart, but bison are smart.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So what's a ranch day like when you guys go out and spend the day on the ranch with her?
Yeah, so the ranch, the rookies, the new people on the team, they definitely are always in charge of scooping poop. But then that's their job. That's what they get to do. It's the glory of getting to finally be on the team is here's the shovel. Go over there. But then
that's
it's like
awesome.
The rest of the team, it's different every day. Like sometimes we're cleaning out water bins. Sometimes we're picking up just like sticks that have fallen from trees from recent storms. We will repair fences. We'll move fences. It is totally dependent on the day and what our coach needs from us and what the buffalo could need. And sometimes we just get to hang out with her, which is always really fun. And the team is fun.
And you brush her quite a bit, right? Because don't they have like a winter coat?
Yeah,
they can shed. And
sometimes it's like super easy. Sometimes Ralphie 5 really, really likes back scratches. And sometimes she's like, no, I don't want to be touched there right now. And they shed their coats all themselves. Like it comes off all naturally as the season kind of progresses. But if you can get up and scratch her on her back and she'll let you pick off some of the really big like pieces that are coming off of her.
So take me back to your rookie year. What is bison poop? What are we talking about size wise? What are we talking about weight wise when you get that shovel?
It's a pretty big pile of poop. It's not very much fun. It's not the most glorious part of being on this team, but it's what you got to do. And it's super, super fun on game days when she poops on the field and we have to get it off the field like really, really well. Cause you know, there's going to be football players rolling around in it and everyone's like watching it. I'm like, I'm super, super conscious of everybody in the stadium just like staring at me, trying to get this poop off the field right now.
How many times have you had to do that?
I mean, my rookie season, there was four of us in my class. So we just kind of always split it. And she doesn't actually poop on the field too often because she doesn't stand on the field for very long on game days.
Right.
It's not super common. Usually it's in her trailer, which is really easy. But
she likes the field thing is amazing to me because I've not even thought about that because the camera doesn't linger on that when it happens. I've not seen that in action.
Yeah, it happens every so often, but I think maybe I only had to do it once my rookie season. So
that's a lot of pressure, though. Yes. That's a lot of pressure. There's poop on the football field, and you got to get it off.
It is. It's, yep, you know, it's in the end zone. It's really where you don't want that to be.
Well, especially because Colorado usually paints their end zone black with the gold writing, so you got to find it.
Yeah, it's there.
Oh, my. So you've had this time and you're spending, what does the new Buffalo, what do they have to learn to be ready to be named Ralphie and to get to do the run?
Yeah. So I think probably the biggest thing my coach is looking for is consistency. You know, she is okay with getting in the trailer. She's okay with getting out of the trailer. She is very good in the panels, like just hanging out when there's a bunch of people around and being walked across the field. You know, I think my coach is looking for, she comes out of the panels really strong and she's turning really strong on game days and, or just in runs in general. And I think she's just looking for that consistency with everything that we do so that it's very much like this Buffalo knows what she's doing. She knows what time it is when game day rolls around and she's ready to go.
I just imagine, you know, cause Coach Durrell has to recruit players and probably knows what he wants in a corner and knows what he wants in a center or a guard. You guys know what you want in a bison.
Yes.
I think that's amazing. You got critical factors for a bison.
Yep.
to be the runner. And it's been so long, you know, how will you get those younger people ready? Who have not been on the field before, who have not made the run, you know, what advice do you give them as they prepare to lead, you know, 1,200 pounds of charging bison out on the field?
Yep. So fortunately, we do actually have a baby buffalo right now, so she is not 1,200 pounds. She is
good. Okay.
Probably a little more helpful because she's not quite as fast yet either as Ralphie 5 was. But I think the biggest thing is just repetition. You know, we're getting our rookies in on as much runs as possible. We're all doing as many repeats of the runs as we can get in before the fall rolls around so that we all know what we're doing. And it all comes with repetition. Like every run you do, you probably have something that you could have done a little better, but it just comes with time. And even the guys who are in my class and a year below me who have run on game days, we're still learning everything we possibly can.
So what you mentioned, you did a lot of sprints to make sure you were prepared when you tried out for the team. What distance is the best sprint to be ready for a Ralphie run?
So on game days, we can go as far as 250 meters, sometimes even closer to 300. So we definitely do a lot of repetitions in the 200s and 300s, and we do a lot of 100s just to get that super quick speed coming out under us. And so it's nowhere usually longer than 300, but 200 is probably the max-ish that we sprint.
So when you watch the 200 in the Olympics coming up, are you going to be, man, this could be an amazing Ralphie runner here?
I think watching all the sprinters even at school is cool to watch, but I think my coach looks for so many different things when it comes to us. Like, we have some guys on the team who are really, really strong and still fast, and then we have some guys on the team who are just so fast, it's incredible to watch. So I think it's such a wide variety because every spot, every position on the Buffalo is different. So she needs different athletes. And also we need to be coachable athletes because nobody has experience running with a Buffalo.
It's kind of like football where, you know, a cornerback, if you put a cornerback and an offensive tackle next to each other and say, these people play the same sport, people are like,
exactly.
What? Yeah. Really?
Yep.
So what are the positions on the Buffalo?
So the front two positions, front left is called, we call it spin, or no, front right we call spin, because they actually start on the right-hand side of the Buffalo. And when we start the run, they run and do a full spin around the Buffalo in front of her. They actually like look her in the eyes and then proceed to come onto the right side. They kind of start the whole run. They're the person that will pull the Buffalo if she needs to be pulled over on game days. And then the front left person is the person who is really getting into her shoulder, leaning her over in the turn. So the front two guys are important for that. They hold a chain that kind of comes up from her head stall and pulls her head up, because if a Buffalo's head is down, they're running much faster than if her head is up. So her head being up a little bit definitely helps us out in the back. And so the back two positions, back right and back left, the back left person runs the furthest and the fastest. They are going that super, super wide turn, whereas the back right, we are there for brakes. We help apply brakes. We help kind of just guide her. And then the person in the far back, we call them loop, and they are braking the whole time. So they're leaned back in this like super, super tight position, and they're just holding themselves and trying to hold her back to keep the run as slowing down as we can get.
So it's almost like water skiing, that last position, it seems like.
Yes, that's how we explain it to a lot of people. It's like you are kind of in that position as you would be if you were water skiing off of a boat.
Wow. And what position are you usually in?
I usually run the back right position. So that inside.
So you're the brakes.
Yes. We help brake. We help guide her. And we're just like another person there on her to, if something goes wrong, if something, someone were to fall off the run, we're there to fill in. So
It is amazing. And now, do you, when people come in, when the new people come in, as they're shoveling their poop, do you think, okay, you could be a spin,
could
be a loop?
She definitely, like when she looks at people at tryouts, she's looking for like, so we just lost two people who run loop. We might need a bigger guy this season, or we might need a guy with super, super quick feet to run that spin position. So it definitely is different every single year with the kind of people that we take onto the team. But there are handlers who have been on the team who can run all five positions. So everybody is so different, and it totally depends on how fast you are, how strong you are. And it's different for everybody. So
it's five cool. Tool handlers. I like it.
It's really cool. It's cool how much film and knowledge goes into running each of the different positions. I think that people definitely don't understand. I think a lot of people are like, oh, they just come out here on game days and pick up a rope and run. Like, it's so much more that goes.
I think that would get you killed if you try to do that.
Probably. You'd probably just come right off. You probably wouldn't even stay on the run.
Well, exactly. And then you got to figure out how to get a bison off the football field. Yep,
there you go. Exactly. Which that would be a treat to have to.
She start grazing on the field turf. What now? You mentioned films. What is film study like?
Yeah, for the Ralphie handlers? From multiple different perspectives on the run, so that depending on who is learning or if there's a new person on the run, we definitely want a better angle of them so that we can just watch and we really slow things down and we look where feeding positions are and hand positions and the guys up front, like how closely they're holding that ring that keeps her head up and just where like all of our feet are and how on that turn we all kind of, the three people on the right side, how we all coordinate with getting over just in enough time for that person behind us to have room. So it's very meticulous, I would say, very detail oriented, what we study and film, because there's no other way to learn than finally just like, here's a rope, you need to do it. But we need to be prepared as possible before we start that.
Yeah.
But you just, you got to do it at some point and you go from there.
Yeah, because if you're tripping all over one another,
yeah,
that's dangerous too.
Yeah, our ropes can be pretty long. So it's, if you let your rope be way too loose, then it can definitely get up in the footing of the person in front of us, which would help no one. And the ropes are long enough where they can get super, super loose, or you need to keep them tight, but you also need to make sure you keep your slack up. So it's just, there's a lot of really little things that we have to think about.
So how pumped up are you for the next time you're at Folsom and Ralphie comes out of the trailer?
I'm so ready. I think Folsom has been something I have been dreaming about for over a year now. And I think we are all, we feel so, so close that it's, we're just so anxious to be there. And I think we're all so ready. And I personally, I love game days. I love Friday nights before game days when we get to practice in Folsom. And I love like getting everything set up on campus and you get to see all of the people are getting ready for the game. And tailgating is always so much fun to see all the fans out there. And I think Folsom is a really special place. Like I think the views that we have and the camaraderie that is brought around our football players and just our school as a whole, I think is really special. And I'm really, really excited to be back out there. I'm so glad I have another year on this team.
Savannah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Can't thank you enough.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. This was super fun.
That's it for the show. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back on Monday with Ari. We will get deep inside his sick and twisted mind. And we may be talking about some win totals, some early season point spreads, because we are really, really close to football right now. And it's time. We've drained the realignment well dry, I think. So unless somebody wants to actually make some moves, we don't need to talk about that for a little while. It's time to talk football again. Ari and I are here for you on Monday. We'll talk to you then.